From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast at ClassicRock981.com. You can find us at LondonNewsToday.ca as well, and wherever you get your podcasts. The Craig Needles Podcast is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and downtown London. Today, I want to talk about TikTok, and we don't often discuss TikTok on this podcast. In fact, I don't think we ever have, other than for comedy purposes. But TikTok is very much in the news right now in the US, and that means that it might be in the news in Canada in the not too distant future. And we are joined by Dr. Annabelle Kwan-Haas, who, of course, is an associate dean and graduate postdoctoral professor at Western University, and has been kind enough to join us on the Craig Needles Podcast to discuss this with us. Doctor, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate the time. I'm glad that you give us a few minutes.
No, my pleasure, Craig. Happy to be here.
So let's first talk about where the story is at and where it has essentially originated from. There were concerns in the United States with the government about privacy on TikTok. So Congress decided to tell the people who own TikTok, you've got 6 months to sell your controlling shares or asset or whatever it is of TikTok. Otherwise, we're going to ban it in the United States. Do I have that right generally?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is something that has been discussed for a long time. The concerns have been raised over and over again. And I think, you know, now it's a bill and it's moving, you know, as you said, to the House of Representatives, you know, for next debate and discussion. Yes.
All right. So this is going to go to the House. We're going to have some debate. We're going to have some discussion. What do you think the odds are of them actually banning TikTok in the United States then?
That is very difficult to kind of foresee. I think that I would say they're low, but I mean, it's hard to tell how this will play out. I mean, I think there's an election coming. I think what we know from, you know, the previous election and also a lot of the controversy we've had in terms of the role of social media, in terms of public, you know, opinion forming, the kind of manipulation that happens. I think this is central concern. So, I mean, it's hard to predict the outcome, but it could even be that it is banned. We don't know, really.
Well, that is particularly interesting that there's a level of unknown here. So why do you think we've gotten to this point? Is it just the privacy concerns? Obviously, the foreign ownership is part of the conversation. But why do you think it's gotten to this point?
Well, I think it has to do with the very nature of how TikTok operates. So when we look at a lot of the social media platforms and we do kind of a cross-platform comparison, we realize that many platforms, what you see is often based on who you follow, who your friends are, who your community is, who you've chosen to follow. So that creates, you know, often what we've called so far echo chambers and you know, there's a certain kind of information that gets circulated. What's so different about TikTok is that it is really based on the algorithm mostly. So a lot of what we see is algorithmically determined. And so it really changes a lot the kind of information ecosystem. And that is, I think, what really they're worried about here is what level of manipulation is happening. In addition to, I think, Greg, as you said already, the kind of data, the massive data of 150 million Americans that is being collected. And again, going back to the algorithm, the algorithm will not only collect the data, will analyze it, will model it. And I think that that's where the concern lies. What can be done once we understand, you know, users so well, and we can really kind of target an information to who they are? What is the level of manipulation that is possible here?
Yeah, and really, it stretches the bounds of imagination as far as the manipulation goes. There was a story back in November, people may recall, of Osama bin Laden's letter to America essentially being a viral thing on TikTok, a trending thing on TikTok. That just shows you that, hey, we could like really have some stuff get off the rails there if this thing isn't managed properly. Not that that doesn't apply to US-based social media apps, but it just shows that, hey, this is a pretty powerful tool and pretty powerful stuff can be done with it.
No, absolutely. And I think, I mean, what is important to kind of note here is that a lot of the research has shown that you know, we can't really influence, you know, how somebody votes directly or, you know, what you think about a topic. But what happens with the social media platforms is that they kind of set the frame in terms of what is being discussed or what should be relevant to you. And I think that that's where really the concern lies, is creating kind of instability, creating more polarization, creating kind of uncertainty about things or creating problems that are not problems. So I think there's a, you know, the important thing to realize here is that we're not saying that the platforms can make you think a certain way or do a certain thing. It's more that they're framing what is relevant or what we should be thinking about or what is our concerns. And I think your example is a really good one. Maybe none of us has really been thinking about Osama bin Laden lately, and then suddenly that trends on TikTok and it becomes a topic of conversation. So it is exactly that, I think, that is the concern.
All right. So if the United States has that concern, might lawmakers in Canada have similar concerns if that's the way this progresses? How do you, I know this is hard to predict as we're looking, you know, 6 months into the future, that's a long time, but how might this change in Canada if all of a sudden TikTok is not a thing in the United States?
So Canadians love TikTok. You know, Canadians are a lot on TikTok, and I think yep. TikTok gives you this constant stream of information. The algorithm is really good at kind of showing you things you're interested in and also moving you very quickly through a wide range of topics. So I think that there is a concern here. I mean, the difference is that in Canada, I think in terms of regulation, we've been very slow. Although, you know, with recent kind of Bill C-18, we have started to really move more into thinking about, well, what are these platforms doing? What is their, you know, what kind of power do they have on Canadians, on the news? And I think we've really seen that played out in Bill C-18, where we really saw the government, you know, go against the platforms, and that really play out in a way that didn't favor Canadians, neither the media nor the users. And so we can see how regulation can be very difficult to accomplish. And it is in part because these players, you know, these tech giants are just, you know, they're economically powerful, and they're very difficult to regulate.
Yeah, and we've seen them try to do that with Meta and the news thing and all the radio stations that got caught up in that, and I don't need to go on another rant about that. I've talked about that quite a bit because I was personally impacted by it, but hard to regulate definitely is part of the conversation here for sure.
They're very hard to regulate, and I think what is important to kind of point out is that until now, regulation has been low, and we've seen kind of a part of, you know, what we call often globalization or free trade, where these platforms really operate at a global level. So what we're seeing here now is kind of like a fundamental shift, where suddenly we're saying, well, national interests should trump over kind of these global interests, where, you know, maybe we need to be protecting our elections. We need to be protecting the information that Canadians are receiving, how they're receiving that. And in particular, when it comes to mis and disinformation, I think that that is where where the biggest concern lies. And we saw that even in terms of public health measures, how difficult it is to counter viral or, you know, influencers on these platforms that have a massive influence of, you know, how we talk about issues or even how healthcare is discussed, and politics is no different.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And, you know, news and the whole thing. If the United States goes ahead and bans TikTok, do you think that we would just go and follow along with them almost regardless of the reasons? I know there might be some good reasons to do so, some not good reasons to go ahead and do that. But is it just a situation where they're so big and what they're doing matters so much in Canada that we'd kind of have to go along with it, do you think, just from a tech perspective?
I don't think Canada would necessarily follow. I think the CRTC, which is, you know, the yep. Canadian regulatory body, they tend to do their own inquiry. I think that that is what would happen. They would start kind of a big file on this, a report. You know, they would be interviewing, you know, Canadians, businesses, the media, and then base, you know, their decision on the unique Canadian ecosystem. I wouldn't be surprised if they followed also the European Union regulation, because the European Union, I feel, like Canada always sits kind of in between the American and the European system when it comes to these kind of legal matters. So I think they would be looking at what the regulation, what kind of regulation would be implemented in Europe. And it could be that rather than forcing TikTok to sell to kind of like a Canadian corporation as they're planning in the US, that Canada would just implement more regulation. That's what I would hope for. I think that, you know, the kind of the American system, you know, approach to this, which is to kind of dictate a sell, is very extreme in terms of, you know, the way that they're approaching it. So I would hope that Canada would, you know, look for a more middle ground where they would require additional regulation and protections for Canadians in terms of, you know, flagging misinformation, closing accounts, you know, that are very viral or, you know, that are kind of, you know, inserting themselves into the electoral system rather than to kind of be more extreme and mandate a sell.
So you and I talked about this before we started recording, but there's some level of irony here in this discussion in that as we talk about this Chinese-owned app, TikTok, that might be banned in the United States, American-owned apps such as Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, those are banned in China. So there is a little bit of a what's good for the goose is good for the gander part of the discussion, right?
Yes, great. I mean, I was in China a few years ago for work, and it was really a different information ecosystem there because the big social media platforms, you know, like WeChat, Weibo, they're massive. I mean, they're so centralized. They're such a central part of citizens' everyday life. Even as a foreigner there, you know, to even go on the subway, pay anything, you'd have to have the app. So it was kind of really interesting to see that you couldn't access any of the social media that we tend to use in kind of here in Canada. And so that to me is an important aspect of the discussion because in China, the idea of, you know, it's called the Great Chinese Firewall. You know, the idea of the firewall is to keep any foreign interference out. So it is kind of surprising now that, you know, when the U.S. is trying to kind of implement similar kind of measures, that there has been such a, you know, big backlash. So, but certainly, I mean, the idea here is still to kind of protect democratic self-determination. And China is very big on that. So they're not really interested in any kind of foreign intervention in their politics or news stories or anything to be more broadly divulged. So it is kind of surprising, you know, that we're seeing that kind of countermeasure. But I think the important question is, you know, do we really want to follow a similar model to the Chinese one and implement these kind of firewalls, you know, that control information and control what you can see? Or do we rather want to move forward in a way where we are aware and create, you know, more, I would say, education and pedagogy around how these, you know, the potential huge impact of these platforms on Canadians, on the electorate, and move more towards a model of regulation and education rather than a model of control, surveillance, and banning?
And here's the thing, like I don't like the idea of government deciding who gets to watch what. I think that's a space that we don't want to be in. But at the very same time, we've seen some really harmful stuff emanate from all these platforms, not just TikTok, but from Facebook, but from X/Twitter, Instagram, too. We've seen all the studies about how body image and things it's done to mental health, especially of young girls. So there is negative stuff going on there. But like, do we want to be censoring it? It's a tough debate. And I don't envy lawmakers who are in this position where they're trying to determine the where on this fine line they're supposed to be.
No, absolutely great. And I think that that's one of the counter arguments so far I've heard, you know, a lot, is that why are we targeting specifically TikTok? I mean, all of the other social media platforms, and in particular now X, you know, since its moved ownership to Elon Musk, has come under, you know, incredible attack for all the problems with this misinformation that the platform has, the vitriol, the hate speech, and so on. So I totally agree with you that there seems to be kind of a double standard here. And I've even read in some of the media that potentially this can be viewed as, more kind of that nationalistic take that the America has, you know, that whether very kind of centered around America, around their own stories, their own news, their own narratives, and not wanting to really kind of open themselves to other influences. And that's kind of surprising considering that many of those companies like Facebook itself are global companies. So I think there's certainly a double standard here that we need to kind of take a much closer look at.
I think so as well. It just needs to... It's a new frontier that a lot of us aren't used to as far, and I know social media has been around for 15 years at this point, but the way that it's just become so pervasive in everyone's life, it is a new frontier that a lot of us, be it people who are in the industry, be it people who are legislators or whatever it is, we're just not quite sure how to handle it, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Yeah, and I think there's many kind of points of view here, and that's something that you've kind of stressed. There's the kind of the legal standpoint, but in the U.S., for example, mm-hmm. the American Civil Liberties Union has also countered, the ban, and they've directly, raised a lot of concerns in terms of how it could affect freedom of speech, users' ability, as you mentioned as well, Greg, to gather information that you're interested in, to go to the tools that are relevant to you, to your life. So I think that there's certainly, a balance here between what users want and need, what are the platforms that are relevant to them, protecting users from mis or disinformation or manipulation that is sometimes really difficult to see when you're a single user and you're maybe following an influencer, but you don't realize that the influencer is a bot. So sometimes there are kind of these complexities in these platform ecosystems that for users, leaves them very vulnerable to that kind of influence and manipulation. At the same time, having regulation that is fair, but that is not controlling. So I agree with you that is a fine balance, but I've always argued that we need more regulation. That's mm-hmm. where I personally stand. I think that we regulate the mainstream, the traditional media. We regulate schools. The regulation is an important component of society and to protect citizens. So I think that we've given a lot of these platforms, and these are billion-dollar platforms, that's the other important thing to consider. We've given them a lot of power in society, carte blanche, and I think it is time to look more carefully at their operations, including a TikTok. What are exactly the algorithms doing? I mean, that's always a black box. What content are we being shown? Young people, in particular, I think you mentioned that already. So I do think that there's an opportunity here to use this case rather than to ban it, to regulate it more.
I agree with you entirely that there has to be some sort of regulation. I just don't know where, how far we turn that particular dial, I guess. And that's for people other than me to figure out. Last thing before we go, you mentioned influencers, and there are a lot of people who make money on TikTok and the other platforms too, but we'll focus on TikTok for this response. How do you think this goes over with them? Obviously, they're not going to be happy if there's a TikTok ban in the U.S. That's money out of their wallets. But does that become a constituency, I suppose, that maybe has some stake here and has some sway with politicians? Because there is money to be made, definitely, on these websites.
Oh, I agree. And I think that the influencers can play a role here in terms of swaying the public opinion because, as I said,
they are by definition influencers, right?
Yeah, and half of Americans are on TikTok. So not only are they influencers, they have a big audience, probably one of the biggest audience in the U.S. There's, no one channel, no one show that will have, that kind of audience. And with the algorithm being what it is, I can see that, that those voices will be important. And it's important to remember that for some people, these influencers, the communities around influencers are critical. They're critical. Like, I know that friends who have certain health concerns that are very unique, where, in your community, you wouldn't find others, that have the same health concerns as you. they find communities on TikTok that can really help them provide information, provide support. So it's important to remember that these communities are not just mis and disinformation or geared toward elections, but rather these are important communities of practice, health communities, family communities. So I think that seeing how that plays out in terms of the influence, you know, on the bill itself, on you know, the regulators, will be interesting.
I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see how this turns out. Dr. Kwan Hassett, thank you very much for doing this with me. I do appreciate it. Is there anything else that you want to add or make sure our audience knows about before we wrap up our chat here?
I think we've really covered everything. The only thing potentially important to realize is that this is an ecosystem where, you know, these tech giants, I mean, they're not small players. I mean, these tech giants often have billion-dollar revenues. Like the owner of TikTok, ByteDance, is a Beijing-owned company. And often these companies have been regulated elsewhere. They've been regulated in the European Union. They have been regulated in China itself. And there's precedent also in Canadian and U.S. history to counter, you know, foreign influence, and to also make sure that we, you know, that our information ecosystem is follows, you know, democratic self-determination. So I just want to kind of highlight that when we look at this, we need to look at the bigger picture and not just think of TikTok as something fun that young people use that maybe gives you a dance video, but we really need to think about, you know, that the scale of the influence, the manipulation, the power that we're looking at here.
Yeah, it is more than just dance videos. And I get how people are going to have varying opinions on dance videos or lip sync videos. And some people are going to hate them, some people are going to love them, but it is more than those things. And I think that has to be established here.
Exactly. This is an important discussion that we should be all paying attention to.
Well, I appreciate you having the discussion with me today on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg. Anytime.
That's Dr. Annabelle Kwan Hassett, who is with the Western University's FIMS. She's the associate dean and a graduate and postdoctoral professor there. The Craig Needles podcast is with Classic Rock 98.1 and LondonNewsToday.ca. You can find us on those two places, plus anywhere you get your podcast. The Craig Needles podcast is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at Downtown London.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.